Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up?
This is a two-bit party, man.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've
and pick it back. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
You are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game, we can't fall for nothing. Nothing at all. Good morning. Good morning, First Lady Phyllida Wiltz. Please tell Pastor Charles I give my regards to you and him both on this wonderful, beautiful Monday as we count down to the Memorial Day weekend. The three-day weekend is coming up real soon. Matter of fact, this Friday, you'll have 3 days to celebrate the Memorial Day weekend, and we'll talk about that in a little while. But what is Memorial Day really, truly all about, okay? And we have so many soldiers that have served our country and so many people that have served our country and made it the country that it is today, freedom and equality and justice for all. Yes, for all. That includes everybody. Everybody should be treated equally, fairly, and have freedom and justice and equality around the United States of America. Good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you. We have a very wonderful show for you like we always do. And if you want to call into the show and listen to the show over your phone, you dial 646-787-8064, 646-787-8064. Press 1, it'll put you in the queue. You'll be able to listen or make a comment or a statement, whichever you'd like to do. If you want to listen online, you go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, and on the search you put Eddie Jones Jr. underscore productions with an S, and you will be online, and you can see the pictures of me and the different co-producers of the show and co-hosts of the show. Now, if you want to see it on Facebook, I'm on Facebook Live right now, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook, and you can join myself and our dear sister, Felita, First Lady Felita Wilkes, and, you know, Pastor Charles, give him a big shout-out for me. And there were some things that transpired. There's always something going on. Last week, we talked about genetically modified food, GMOs. We talked about that last week. This week, we have some very interesting topics, and you're very welcome, First Lady. But before we go into our topics, something's kind of bothering me this morning. And, you know, I know we talk about police brutality. We talk about officers who are rogue officers. But, yes, I see you, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. I'm going to bring you on in just a minute. And I also see you, Clarence M. Allen. I also see you, too. You know, we talk about rogue police officers who do bad things. But we have good police officers that do good things. And there was a wonderful African-American female officer who lost her life on May the 7th, coming off her duty, her last watch. EOW stands for end of watch. I'm getting a little emotional because it was her EOW on May the 7th. I just want to share this with you. A Chicago police officer was shot to death on Saturday as she returned from work, was set to graduate with a master's degree from Loyola University, Chicago, in just a few days. Arena Preston, 24 years old, had long set her sights on becoming a police officer with hopes of having a positive impact in her community. As hundreds of Chicago police officers marched on Sunday morning in remembrance of all the men and women in blue who have lost their lives to service. And, you know, she was coming home. She came home, parked her vehicle, was on her way into her place where she lived, and four young African-American black males pulled up on her. Two jumped out, shot her multiple times. She fired back. They walked up on her and fired more rounds into her chest. Of course, she succumbed to her wounds, and she died. A couple of days later, they caught the four young men who did this. And unfortunately, they're all African-American black males. And I'm just a little disappointed with what happened, but I'd like for you to hear just a little bit, if I may. I'll just share this with you.
Professors say that her education fueled her want to becoming a police officer. Community members gathering here just a short time ago pleading for answers in her case as her police station grapples with her murder. A plea for justice as community members came together outside of a morning 5th District Police Station asking for the public's help in solving the murder of Officer Ariana Preston.
We don't know the circumstance, but we do know we lost one. Chicago don't sleep. And someone either drove past, someone seen something, maybe they scared to say something.
The 24-year-old was a 3-year veteran with SPD. She was shot multiple times outside of her family home near 81st and Blackstone early Saturday morning, just as she was returning home from work. Today, a moment of reflection for the fallen officer held at hundreds of Chicago police officers marched this morning.
Okay, I just wanted you to hear that. A fallen officer, she did not have to die that way. And I want to send this out to all the good officers out there who are doing good things. The Los Angeles Civil Rights Association, we send our deepest condolences at the loss of Ariana Preston, 24 years old, three-year veteran on the Chicago Police Department. Her mother and her sisters and brother, we send you love. Good morning, Sister Barbara Hubbard. How are you? Let's go. So we just wanted to shout that out on the show this morning. We lost a wonderful fallen officer this morning. I mean, on May 7th, Ariana Preston, 24 years old, African-American female, who was shot to death in front of her place where she lived as she ended her, good morning, Barbara, as she ended her EOW, end of watch, from her job. She was coming home from work, and they ambushed her and shot her to death. Boy, what is our world coming to? Without further ado, let's get in our co-producer of the show, Clarence M. Allen. Good morning, Brother Clarence. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning? Good morning, Paris Jerry.
And even around the world. I want to say good morning to the co-panelists. That is such a sad story to hear a young lady, man, about to graduate from the university, here to change the community by being a police officer, Arena Preston. You know, Pastor, the man, violence has consumed this nation. This nation was built on violence, man. And, you know, when I hear President Joe Biden speak of the soul of this nation, every time I hear the word soul of this nation, I think of the evil atrocity that was committed, especially upon our ancestors, to create this nation and even this world, man. So we got to wake up. Thank you, Pastor Eddie, for having me on to go into the world's greatest Monday morning broadcast show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Show. Thank you, Pastor Eddie.
Good morning, good morning. Clarence, we could not hear you at all. Can you say something on the show? Because we can't hear you, Clarence. We heard the music, but we couldn't hear you, and we'd rather hear you than hear the music. Go right ahead, Brother Clarence.
Yes, Pastor Eddie. I just want to say how saddened I am about this young lady losing, getting her life taken from her, coming home from work as a police officer. She went
right
to college. She had a job. You know,
yes,
man, she did all this to change her community, the way we work in our community, our mindsets, and with all the violence, man. You
right
know, I was saying earlier that when I hear President Joe Biden speak of the soul of this nation, I think the soul of this nation comes from the violence that it took to create this nation, the slavery, all the pillaging, all the other atrocities, man. So in order to change the soul of this nation, man, there are many people who are going to have to repent from their ways and turn to God and start just being kind, living a godly life. You know, this Second Amendment, man, the rights of these guns, man, this deadly tool is over 300 million guns in this nation, more than the population. What do we need all of
right
these guns for? You know, back when we looked at back then, Pastor Eddie, it was a frontier, you know, and guns were used, you know, for wild animals and for hunting to eat. But now we are the prey. Don't matter what race, creed, or color you are. But I just want to say once again, I was saying good morning to all our wonderful listeners and followers throughout the state, nation, even around the world. Good morning to the
panelists.
Morning.
You have
yes,
such
morning.
A dynamic show every Monday morning. That's why I call this the world's greatest Monday morning radio show, the Eddie Justice Jones radio show, man. And I'm privileged and I'm thankful that you have me as a co-panelist, co-host, and even a co-producer. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. May God continue to strengthen you, keep you with the will to do what you do, man. I love that word of the week that you have created. I love that scripture and these topics.
Thank you.
Y'all call in, call your friends, because Eddie Justice Jones is bringing the hot button topics. Thank you, Pastor Eddie.
Thank you so much, Brother Clarence. Sister Sonia Jones, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning. Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you, Sister Sonia Jones, for accepting me, bringing you on our show this morning. That was Brother Clarence M. Allen. To everybody out there on Facebook Live, this is the Eddie Justice Jones radio show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Sister Sonia Jones, just stand by. I want to bring in another one of our co-producers. Good morning, Professor Reams. Good morning, Professor Reams. How are you? Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Jones. Good morning, the regulator. I'm doing very well, and I hope all is going well. And unfortunately, with the tragedy that's just happened, and once again, we're reminded of the unfinished business that we still have to do. But then once again, we're at the best Block Talk radio program that provides a real deal, holy field, about the issues that are going on. And it's our honor and it's a privilege, as the regulator mentioned, that we have this privilege to be able to share the information with the listeners. Good morning to all the listeners. This is a wonderful Monday, so that we can now focus on the things we need to do and also remember how God's grace and mercy has brought us this far and is going and will never leave us and will always keep us and will continue for us to move forward to resolve these issues that we find ourselves occurring each and every day of every week, of every month, of every year. So with that, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning,
say hello to Talana Jones. Good morning, Talana Jones. Welcome to the show, Talana. How are you this morning?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Dad. I'm doing all right.
Good morning.
Thank you for asking. Happy Monday to all. God bless everyone. And thank you to everybody listening and watching from Facebook. God bless.
Amen, amen.
Very good wisdom.
Now, wait, hold on. Well, Sister Sonia, we might have to turn something down because we got two devices going and it's echoing back, so we want to get an interview from you. Can you call into our show, Sister Sonia Jones?
Say that one more time.
We were having a little feedback, like when I talked to you, so if you have the radio and the computer on, it's going to feed back, but I was asking, can you call into our show? I could give you the number and you could call in.
Okay.
Okay, let me know when you're ready.
Oh, shucks. That's a good one. I'm literally...
You could dial it in your phone while we're on the phone right now. You could put the number in. But while you're getting ready, I want to introduce Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. Hold that thought right there, Sister Sonia Jones. Good morning, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. God bless you. I've been trying to get back, and thank God that, myself and Pastor Eddie, even though I don't get on the show when I like to, we still talk about the issues and talk about things that are coming up, and certainly this situation is one that we are talking about. But the ones that should be talking about are those in our elected positions. They need to be talking about these things, but they won't even address the issue of the gun violence and all of that. We're seeing the anti-Semitism not just among people of the opposite color, but we're seeing it among people of our own color. And that word means hostility. That are becoming very hostile because the world as they know it is being changed, and you got a lot of people that don't have jobs, and many of them don't want to work honestly. So they lash out with guns, and they figure, you know, they'll take what somebody else has. There are people that would just take another life for as much as $20. So that shows you the value of human life among the people that we're seeing today. And definitely I agree with Brother Clarence when President Biden talked about the soul of this country. When you talk about souls, you talk about God. We really need to get back on the right track. There are a whole lot of people that are professing Christianity, but they're not saying anything when all of these shootings are taking place at these schools. And I hate to say, but even the children are becoming just another target or a casualty of this war that we are fighting. They say nothing. They become quiet.
Amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Yes, they do. And Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you on this morning. All I can say is what a time we're living in right now. And I'm talking about the
yes,
fallen
sir.
Officer. Let me see if I can get this call in right now. I believe that this is our sister, Sonia Jones. Let's see.
Good morning, sir.
Are you there?
Yes, it's me, Sonia Jones. Yes.
I'm listening. Thank you, Sister Sonia Jones. Thank you. It's an honor and a pleasure beyond words to have you on this morning. Could you tell us where you're calling from? What state?
I'm in Delaware.
State of Delaware.
The first
everybody,
state.
Everybody, please say good morning to Sister Sonia Jones.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sister Sonia Jones. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sister Sonia Jones. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. Finally.
Yes. Now, Sister Sonia Jones, you know, before we go into what you are dealing with and the work that you do for the community and the work that you have done for the community, we're talking about Ariana Preston, a 24-year-old Chicago police officer who had 3 years on the force, was about to graduate and get her master's degree in 3 days when she got off of duty from work at 1 o'clock in the morning. As she went into her apartment, she was ambushed by four black African and young black men and shot to death. Of course, in the police department, they say EOW, which means end of watch. And she didn't know it, and we didn't either, but that was her EOW, her end of her watch for life. I'd like to get your opinion on what you think about a good police officer. We're not talking about rogue. We know we got bad police officers out there that do bad things to people, shoot them in the back and all kinds of stuff. But now we're talking about a good officer. What would you like to say about the fallen officer, Ariana Preston, 24 years old, that was ambushed by four young teenagers? They were the oldest one was 19, the youngest one was 17, and it was four of them. Two of them shot her to death. Just like to get your opinion. Go right ahead, Sister Sonia Jones.
You know what? It doesn't make a difference how old they are. They did it. There's no justification for killing anybody, good cop, bad cop. I get it. They're bad cops. I'm not saying she was. You got bad cops and you're just tired of it. But to kill anybody for a justified reason, I don't feel sorry for you at all. You know, two things I always say, we were not created for hell or jail. And I don't know why people are in a rush to get the votes. I have no idea why, but maybe it's a wake-up call. But I did get an ending of someone saying there was no respect for the law. No, there's no, pretty much there's no respect for self. You know, self-love, self-pride, self-dignity begins with self. You can't get that in a book. No teacher can teach it. You can't buy it. You have to learn that. When you start learning to love yourself, all that other stuff won't matter. I won't have time to shoot Joe Blow because he got the next best pair of sneakers I couldn't afford. Hey, my Kmart sneakers work just like theirs. You know, my Walmart pants work just like theirs. When we start learning to love ourselves more, all of the other stuff will just fall off. You won't have time for hate and animosity, misery. You won't have time. I won't have time to be with an ego complex and trying to kill somebody. For what? Now you're going to kill somebody, and now what? Now, you know, let's run in scenarios. Now you're going to do what I call a wishing game. I wish I wasn't here. I wish it wasn't me. I wish you have all up until the wishing game to stop. All up until somebody decided to pull the trigger, you had up until there to stop, walk away. I don't care if they call me a punk, a wuss. You call me whatever you want to call me, but I'm free. I don't feel sorry for them. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of things we're not going to be able to control. I don't care how much you push the narrative. There's a lot that we can put in front of people. We can push the positivity in front of people. This stuff has already been, we're men and women of God, let's keep it real. It was already out here. It was already ordained. God had already said on this day, this is what's going to happen. Moving forward, we're supposed to be what? The messenger. We're supposed to be his help. We're supposed to go out here and try to help save souls. That's what Jesus did. He didn't come to be our friend. He didn't come for us to like him. He came to help save souls, direct us back to God. That's our job, to direct these people back to God. Maybe that's their call, to go to jail and maybe learn, you know, to appreciate life in God. But I don't feel sorry, because sorry is a mission of guilt. I have empathy for the family. There's a difference between empathy and sympathy. I don't have any sympathy. I have empathy. I know what it's like. I understand that pain. You know, you're burying a loved one. But these four, five, however it was, I don't care what the ages were, they were of age to know the difference between right and wrong. And when they ran, they knew the difference. They knew when they went to go stick up somebody. They knew when they went to put the bullets in the gun. They knew when they pulled the trigger. They knew. So I don't want to hear any bull crap about, you know, where they grew up at and their mental capacity. I don't want to hear, because they knew. Their actions said they knew.
So you are so right, Sister Tanya.
What we do are we pray for both sides, because both sides really are affected. You know, you push the narrative, they both are affected. These four young men's families did not sit up here and say, you know what, I think I want to have a child so they can be gangsters and thugs. No, they didn't. They wanted their children to be something a little bit better than them. Somewhere, somehow, they didn't. Now you got a mother and a father, whoever is attached to these four young men, family, and now they're going to be suffering. And, you know, here comes the wishing game. You know, while they're wishing that their life be saved, on the other side, there's the family that say, no, I want justice, and my justice is I want these four young men to suffer just like that young lady did. And I don't blame them. You know, my son was murdered, but I don't hate the young man. Matter of fact, I pray for the young man. So moving forward,
now,
we need to pray for and learn to not to hate, to forgive, and we got to do a better job. We have to start fixing ourselves. The greatest war, actually, the first war, if you think about it, all began in heaven. The first war, very very first war, began in heaven. You remember? Satan and angels
now,
and God. That was
now, hold on. Hold that thought for a minute, Sister Jones. We want to, first of all, let's give Sonya Jones a big hand. She's our special guest, along with Chief Apostle Kenneth Cole. I see you out there, John Apollo Payne, my brother. John Apollo, stay on the phone. Don't go anywhere. We want to commend you, first of all, and we're going to come back and talk about what happened to your son. And you are a civil rights activist in your own right. You work in the community, you speak wonderfully and well, and you have a message that you're sharing with us this morning. I'm looking at a picture of Ariana Preston, the 24-year-old police officer that was shot and killed. Her four young black men that shot her are 19-year-old Joseph Brooks, Travell Breeland, Jaquan Bookman, who's 18, and the 16-year-old who they did not name because he's a minor, but he is being tried as an adult. Now, this is a total waste because, as Sister Jones said, these four young men have a family, and I'm quite sure the family is feeling very embarrassed and hurt at the loss of what's going on. It's terrible. There's no reason why assault weapons should be on our street, And this is why we're going to go to Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. But before we do, I want to say to John Apollo Payne, John Apollo, please call into our show. Let me see something. Let me see if I can. Hold on. Let's see. Add. Hold on. Let's see if we can. No, we can't. Okay. John Apollo, please call in. The number is 646, because we're going to be talking about Jim Brown in a minute. 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Call in, John Apollo Payne. Call in. We want to talk a little bit about Jim Brown and his legacy. And, of course, it would be good to have you on, because you are a part of his life, and we are a part of his life, and the Mayor I Can program, which we'll talk about in a minute. John Apollo, call in. Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, what do you think about the fallen officer? What do you think about assault weapons on the street? Are there enough laws banning assault weapons? And then we're going to come back to Sister Sonya Jones. Go right ahead, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. Please, take the floor.
Let me say, I just want to tell the audience, you know, I'm a military veteran, disabled military veteran. And so with that said, we were trained. We went through training, and, you know, we learned how to operate all types of different weapons. And so, you know, I look at the argument that they have for the GOP would argue, well, it infringes on their Second Amendment rights. And, you know, if a person can go in the military at 18, they should be able to possess a weapon. But the problem with that is, when you go into the military, if you're going in at 18, it is in a supervised environment. You have non-commissioned officers. You got supervisors to tell you when you're allowed to shoot and when you're not. And so even at the end of the day, you don't take the weapons home with you. You put the weapons in the arm room along with the ammo. And it's stored away until it's time to be used again. And then you go to the range and you train and you train and you constantly train. Well, in this life, those people of the same age who are 18, they can walk right into the store. And some states don't even have a restriction where they just walk in and get all the weapons. Now, as I said, I'm a disabled military veteran. I don't need an assault weapon. That is a military-grade weapon. What do you need that for? I mean, what type of war are you going to in civilian life? And you know, right. That's been our argument. So we have to be able to get to these people that are in these places. They're taking so many kickbacks from the NRA. And so they're being quieted because of the money that is being spent on their campaigns comes mostly from that direction. But we cannot allow our children and our families to become casualties of their war. They see all the shootings on TV, and yet you have no voice that comes from Congress or the Senate to speak out against it. And that's a problem. Because, you know, we cannot allow anybody to be a casualty of this war of words and, oh, we're sorry, but the only thing that we can say is they need a mental health. Yeah, we agree that people need mental health, but You need to address these weapons that are going out in the community. You need to slow down these weapons and make something to where I suggest, this is just me. I think that they should raise the age for weapons to the age of 21. Therefore, they are an adult. If they commit the act, they will be prosecuted as an adult. No young person needs to have an assault weapon, period. That should be for people in military or law enforcement, because now you've got all these kids out there And just like the lady, she's trying to defend herself, but she was overcome because they had more weapons than she had.
Hmm. Yes.
It has to be a threat.
Yes, sir. I agree. Thank you so much, Chief Apostle. Don't go anywhere. Sister Sonia Jones is a special guest on our show today. We are honored beyond words to have her on. She's calling all the way from Delaware. We also have Professor Reams, who is our co-producer on our show. We have Clarence M. Allen, who's the co-producer on our show. We have Talana Jones, who's the co-producer of our show. Talana Jones does Words of Wisdom. Clarence M. Allen does the manual. Professor Reams does the commentary. We got Vera Jones, who does Health and Wellness. And so without further ado, I want to go to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, just for a moment, and then we're going to go into our regular topic, but we're not going to go into our topic until we talk to Sister Sonia Jones, who's going to talk about what happened to her son, and then we're going to go from there into our regular topic. We have two topics on our show today. Our first topic is, I want to get it right, 2024 elections. Who's running for president of the United States of America? Do you know who you are voting into office, or are you just guessing? Because we can't guess on who's going to be our next president. We need to make sure, and I'm going to tell you who they are and what they do and whether they're Democrat or Republican and what their mission is for the United States of America, and are they even worthy of that position. And we as African-American black people, we need to exercise our vote. If we don't vote, our vote doesn't count. All the stuff about, oh, I'm not voting because they don't believe in me, and all, that's a bunch of bananas, okay? Let's move the bananas out the way, and let's get the whole bowl of fruit, and let's vote, because we are the bowl of fruit, if you get it. We are the majority. We can vote, and our vote counts. Okay, our second topic is Jim Brown passed away, one of the greatest football players that ever played the game, and a civil rights leader and a community builder. I had many occasions where I had the wonderful pleasure of meeting Mr. Jim Brown, one of the greatest football players that ever stepped on a football field, running back. And if you look at his videos, you can see he was not your average running back in the NFL. He was one of the greatest football players that ever stepped on a football field. We'll be talking about his life and his legacy in the second part of our show for our second topic. But right now, we're talking about a fallen police officer. But not only a fallen police officer, we're talking about assault weapons on our streets. We're talking about innocent African-American people being gunned down by other African-American people, okay? We always put it on the police. Yeah, the police do some bad things. But we got good police officers out there that are doing good things. And Chief Apostle Curry said we need to know what voting restrictions are in effect. We're going to talk about that, because we're going to talk about Atlanta and how the voting is in Atlanta and in the United States, period. Don't go anywhere. Let's go back to, first of all, let's go to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, give us your take on the shooting of a fallen police officer, Ariana Preston, 24 years old, shot down by four young African-American men whose future is gone because they're all incarcerated now and their trial is coming up really soon. They've already been arraigned for premeditated murder. Go right ahead, Professor Reams. Take the floor.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Jones. But one thing about it is I agree with both Chief Apostle Curry and Sister Sonia Jones at the reaction, because the fact that being also a law professor, we talk about folks taking responsibility for their actions. And in doing so, when they get to that level, get to that age, and the time that it took, you will see the way the case is going that this was definitely premeditated in one sense, because of the fact it took all of their intent to buy the weapons, to arm the weapons, to find out where the person is, and then to shoot, and also to make sure that the person was dead. There is no reason for the action that was taken. As we mentioned, we've talked about how the community is and everything to that effect, but this should be nothing new because of the fact that other students were doing something else at the time and that wasn't trying to harm a police officer. And yes, you've mentioned that police officers do some bad things, but people also do bad things as well. So the fact that we're in this situation, as far as the assault weapons and all, comes back to the who's and the where's and what's going on. Because, again, the NRA is a profit and crime, and people are using it for their political gains overall. And in looking at how the situation of hate is, it almost feels, as Chief Apostle Curry's mentioned and then alluded to by Sister Soja, is the fact that self-love has to be the first thing overall. And we cannot show sympathy but empathy for the families that's going through this. And overall, because I debate with some of my colleagues that this wouldn't have happened if people had access to only slingshots or water pistols. So if you take that out of the way, and if you take out whatever else would be dangerous, other countries are restricting the guns to their military and to their police officers, but not to the public. But unfortunately, the identity politics of dealing with guns and the rough and tough Second Amendment, which has been misinterpreted for many years, has taken over, especially since you have a situation where we're in the middle of a culture war. There's a feeling that one side, that their power is going away, and it has been expressed over and over again, this is a way for folks to act up. So with the January 6th scenario cropped up and with all these other things cropping up, and as Clarence Allen has mentioned, and also a colleague of Professor Gloyd of, I think, Harvard or Yale, this is who we are. And now it's God who's reminding us of what we can do and who we can be, is that so we're not listening at this point. So this is where the real battle is for trying to re-go for the soul of this country, of trying to be kinder and sweeter, but also not running away from our history of what we've done, because it's through history that you learn where you make your mistakes. And unfortunately, we're not learning from our history. We're actually ignoring it, which is resulting in this cause and problems happening and occurring. So our work is in front of us. Our thoughts are here. We can do everything we can, but that's why with these elections and all the activities, people cannot, must be woke in order to address this. And don't allow the politicians to say that woke is a bad thing. Woke is how we got to the good things that we have. So stay woke, stay ready, and stay on that battlefield and have your armor that the good Lord has given us, along with our weapon, which is the Bible, ready, because John Lewis didn't go to sleep. King didn't go to sleep. Malcolm X didn't go to sleep. So why are we going to go to sleep when we should be woke and walking in that front line and continue the fight, because no one said it was going to be easy. But the joy that comes from the struggle and the grace of God's journey with us is what's important. So we need to get out there, do the hard work, and get it done. Because you don't want the Lord to fix it for us, because it may not what we expect it to be, but it is what he's asked us to do. With that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Thank you so much, Professor Renzo. We honor, boy, what a nice way to put that. Nice way to put that. I want to welcome our special guest, Sonia Jones. I want to welcome Wanda Sisko. I want to welcome Wanda Jones Long, Wanda Long Jones. And I want to welcome Edie Way, Brother Glenn Yost, Brother John Apollo Payne, Brother Clarence M. Allen, Vera Jones, Gloria Majors, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, and everybody on First Lady Felita Wilkes, Chandra Daniels, Senia Jennings, Barbara Hubbard, and everybody on Facebook Live. Please tag 10 people and let them know we are on the world's greatest civil rights talk show on radio. Because guess what? What we talk about on here, they're not going to tell you on Channel 2, 4, 7, 9, 11, or 13, or even CNN, because they don't want you to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Amen. We talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game, we can't fall for nothing, okay? Nothing. We need to stay awake, and we need to be woke. We don't need to be sleeping, okay? And the ones that are, we're sleeping giants, and we need to wake up from our sleep,
and take our steps in the right direction to rectify and solidify equality and justice for all, especially our people. We have been through trials and tribulations since we came to this country called America. And for our blood and sweat and tears, okay, we have not received our 40 acres and a mule. We don't have a place in the United States where we can say this is our, you know, the Armenians have their Armenian community, the Koreans have their Korean community, and the, you know, even the Latinos have their community. But where is the black community? Where is little Africa in the United States of America? You tell me. I want to know. What do we own in America? Do we own a TV station? What do we as a people own in America? Well, let's go back to what we're talking about. We're talking about guns on our street. We're talking about the fallen police officer, Ariana Preston, 24 years old, Chicago police officer, ambushed and murdered in front of her apartment. But now we have Sonya Jones, a very intelligent intellectual sister. And Sonya, are you still there? Are you still with us, Sonya?
Yes.
Sonya, are you there? Okay, go right ahead. Take the floor. Yes, please tell us about your son, how old he was. Tell us about your wonderful son. And please take the floor. Take your time. Go right ahead, Sonya Jones.
Okay, so for 1 month, I didn't know there was a difference. I had been doing protests for families like me for over 10 years. My son was murdered by the streets. Two different differences. I did not know that. But anyway, my son was 36 at the time. My youngest son was 26 at the time. I was hosting radio at the time. So Thursday, I get a phone call from my daughter, and she would call me freaking out if she broke a nail. So I didn't pay any attention. So finally, I listened to the voicemail. She tells me my son had died in a car accident. That was the voicemail. We just assumed it was a car accident. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until 2 days later. So this was July the 8th, 2021. My oldest was 36. Yeah. My youngest was 26. A few days later, I get a phone call that says that my son was didn't die in a car accident. It was a homicide. They did wind up catching a young man by the end of July. So all this took place in July. Long story short, same young man that murdered my oldest son at 36 in 2012 jumped my youngest son, the 26-year-old. We didn't know that until my oldest son had died and my youngest son did some research. So he's caught. The young man is caught. So far, 2 years incarcerated. He now faces, 21.75 years to 44 years. That was just for third degree. For my son and the weapons. He was, on probation when this had happened. So this happened in Chester, Pennsylvania. They found him hiding in someone's basement ceiling in Delaware with a stolen gun from Maryland. So he has to get those charges as well. And he's only 25 at that time. So, depression became my best friend. Suicide became my God. I worshipped it. I had a 9 millimeter Glock that I can't say I looked at, but I pondered on it. And the only thing that saved me was I couldn't even complete a suicide without God intervening. I loved outdoors. And for me to wake up in a wheelchair every day knowing that God said, oh, you can complete that task, you just won't die, I couldn't live with that. That was the only thing. I didn't care about hell. I didn't care about heaven. I just knew if there was a bottom of the earth somewhere, I wanted to be there. Being here was not it. My only thing was I could not complete committing suicide without waking up, finding out I was paralyzed, having somebody change my diaper. That threw me right there. That threw me.
Mm-hmm.
But moving forward, the young man is incarcerated. I am still out here protesting, marching, rallying, everything for people. I did not wait until, and I'm adamant about this, and it
infuriates me at times that when you see families out here crying because of a loved one that was lost, we always have sympathy for that person. I don't want you to have sympathy. I want you to have empathy. Empathy says you don't have to get out and protest and march. You don't have to do it. You can always do it from your phone. Share it. Like, yo, don't kill somebody. Post it. Don't talk to these young people when you see them on the street. You could always do something besides nothing. Always say a whole lot of something is better than a whole lot of nothing. You can always donate a couple of dollars to these organizations, but do something, because what happens is these people are out here doing stuff that they should not be doing. And, again, we don't want to do the wishing game. I wish I wasn't here. I wish it wasn't me, because we tell Ray Ray all the freaking time, Ray Ray, why don't you get your life together? Well, help freaking Ray Ray. Stop talking about Ray Ray. You know his mama ain't no good. You know daddy a piece of crap. But then step in. Do something. Do something besides gossiping and talking about him, because all that's doing is causing Ray Ray to have some inside internal issues that have not been addressed, that he's going to lash out on somebody, and you better hope it's not you.
Come on now, come on. Without further ado, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. Right now we're talking to Sister Sonya Jones, and let's give her a big hand for what she just stated to us. Just, I mean, it takes a lot to lose your son. It takes a lot. You know, as you heard, she said she was on the verge of breaking down. She's on the verge that suicide was her friend. And you know, I can't even walk in her shoes ever. No parent in the world knows what it feels like to lose a child. I mean, and nobody can walk in her shoes. But we honor you today, my sister. Even Felita Wilkes on Facebook Live just gave you a big hand. We honor you today. We are happy that you're on our show as our guest. And we hope it's not the last time. You are welcome on this platform anytime you have anything you want to share. So without further ado, go right ahead, Sister Sonya Jones. What is your real message that you want everybody to know this morning? We know that you march. We know that you protest. We know that you posted. Is there anything else you want everybody? Tell us your son's name. Tell us a little bit about his life. Go right ahead. Take the floor.
He was a pain in my side. He became my chauffeur. I didn't realize how much my son meant to me, and we never do until he's gone, like literally.
Yeah.
When I say my pain, he was my pain. 6'2", I'm 5'5". He became my chauffeur because at the time I was literally flying different states to meet up with various families, like that young lady, the police officer, doing interviews. So he would take me to the airport and he would pick me up, and I would call him up, and I would always, son, it irritates me because, you know, at the end when we leave someone, what's the first thing we'll say? You know, I'll talk to you later. You know, have fun. When I leave somebody, I'm always saying, please be careful out there. Why do I need to tell you to be careful? Why does my last thing have to be, please be careful? Why? I shouldn't have to worry about a bullet or a gun or anybody wanting to take my life for nonsense. We shouldn't have to live like that, yet we do. We live in a society, yes, we do. But our biggest enemy is self. When you defeat the war within, you conquer everything. If we start learning to love, and I'm going to emphasize this again, if we start to learn to love ourselves, we won the entire battle. But first we have to start with self. Stop self-hating other people. Why? For what? One of the things I used to do was stay focused. And I have no idea where it came from. But I would do my Facebook Lives before, you know, as I'm walking in the house, and it started off with stay focused. And it just started dropping with me to where it became my signature. So stay focused went something like this. Yo, Facebook, I want you to stay focused, because when you stay focused, everything that God has for you is what? It's coming to you. And since God's time is not our time, we don't know when he's going to come back with your blessing. I'm just saying, been there, done that. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you got that co-worker that act like they're the boss that act like they don't know what they're doing. You looking over there at their house talking about some, oh, my gosh, look at their house. And you Ray Ray with that car, and you're not trying to figure out out while Ray Ray keep parking that car two blocks away, but you're looking at the house not realizing that he ain't beating the crap out of her, and she ain't cheating, and children swinging from the chandelier, but we always looking at other people's lives, talking about, ooh, what they have. No, stay focused on what you have, because what's going to happen is, what I love, we go to God and be like, yo, God, what happened? And God be like, what had happened was, see, you didn't stay focused. I sent you your blessing. Because you were so busy worried about what they have, you missed it.
Hmm.
Now you go back to
wow.
doing that, you know, but you missed it. You got to stay focused. It's okay to see their house. Sometimes their house is a distraction. I just want to see how much of a focus you're going to be on their house rather than me, because I was going to send you your house. Your house is going to be better than theirs. You don't, you thinking that all they people have, what they say, all that glitter is not gold?
That's right.
Just stay focused. Focus on what it is that you have and let God take care of the rest. But focus on you. And then what happens is we don't have time to be pulling out bullets and guns and knives and stabbing and hating and gossiping about other people, because what you have, trust me, if I don't have it, God said I won't get it right now. It's okay. I can do without, but we have to start learning to love ourselves first.
Yes, we do.
When you do that, everything else is just, trust me, I guarantee you. You think I don't want that house up the hill? I'll take my little apartment. I got to prove to God that this little apartment means more to me, just like that house up the hill. So when he doesn't give me the house up on the hill, I'm ready for it. I don't want to be hating on them because of what they have, because, again, I don't know what the struggles are that they're going through with that house. We look on the outside, and they're on the inside looking at us like, Dad, I wish we did have. But we're on the outside talking about, I wish we did have. Both of us are miserable. I can't live like that. Whatever God has for me, it's going to come to me. If I don't get it, it's okay. I love me. I can go to Kmart, Walmart, get those little cheap shoes, rock that bad boy like I just walked out on the red carpet, Vogue magazine. But we got to start learning to love ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the young and the old. Learn to love yourself. Everything else will just come.
Amen. Praise God. Wow. Okay, well, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Right now, our special guest is Sister Sonia Jones, all the way from the state of Delaware. Welcome to the show, Brother Donnell Wells. Welcome to the show. And everybody else that's just coming on. Thank you for those hands you gave up, First Lady Felita Wilkes, or Sister Sonia Jones. I want to go right now to show me the hearts on Facebook Live. If you are enjoying this interview with our dear sister, Sonia Jones, just show the hearts right now on Facebook Live. Thank you very much. Right on, right on, right on. I want to tell you, I was so, thank you, and yes, hallelujah, praise God. I was so touched by Sister Sonia's interview this morning, and I'm still touched. Thank you. We all need that blessing. We need that blessing right now. Her wisdom, her knowledge, her intelligence, and even at the loss of her son, she's still telling the story, and the story needs to be told. It does not need to fall on deaf ears. It was a civil rights violation. It's a human right violation. It's a constitutional right violation. These guns need to be off the street. If the guns are not there in people's hands, and because if I lay a gun in the middle of my living room and don't touch it for 10 years, it's not going to shoot a soul. But the moment I put it in my hand, that's where the controversy starts. Because now you feel like you're a God because you have a gun in your hand. You're not God because you can kill somebody, because you can walk into a school and shoot innocent kids, because you can walk into a grocery store and shoot innocent people shopping with no weapons to protect themselves. What a coward. What a coward. You know, a real man or a real woman that has a gun will keep their weapons locked up, away from their kids, away from anybody that doesn't use them, and only bring them out if you mandatorily need them to defend your home. That's it. Other than that, what do you need an assault weapon for, period? Okay? We got to wake up, y'all, and smell. There's a new cup of coffee being brewed every second. Everybody, do you have a question or a statement for our dear sister and our dear, wonderful guest, Sonia Jones? We're going to go to Talana Jones. Talana Jones, do you have a question or a statement for Sister Sonia Jones? Talana, are you there? Okay, we will come back to Talana. Okay. Let's go to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, do you have a question or a statement right now for Sister Sonya Jones? Go right ahead.
Yes, first of all, to Ms. Jones, well said. I am just beaming at the way that it was said. Our word is magnanimous, and I would call you magnanimous, Sister Sonya Jones, for all the things that you're saying. So here's a question. With all the activities that you're doing, what do you do when you want to take a rest and then reinvigorate yourself to stay in the fight? So what are some of the fun things that you do just to have a balance in your life?
I don't even know what that means. I am 59 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look it. I don't act it. And I never understood energy. I just kept hearing it all the time. Oh, girl, you got all this energy. Oh, girl. I never took any key to it. I just didn't know. I just thought it was natural for me to keep going. And it wasn't until one of my old sponsors stood before she was injured, and I was like, wow, oh, she's what it came. But when I say energy, I mean literally my brain goes even when I'm asleep. My brain is always on positive. I refuse to be – I always say there's always a positive in every negative. It just depends on how you look at life. You know, I didn't grow up in the third world country sharing water with animals. No, I'm poor. But then when I look at other countries, you know, who are scrambling, eating out of trash cans, you know, I'm not on death row fighting for a crime I didn't commit, realizing that, hey, you got to come off of death row first. You know, I'm poor. But it all depends on how you look at things in life. And I'm not always trying to compare. It's not a comparison thing. It's just a gratefulness thing that, you know, again, they had that house that I want, but I have this little apartment, you know, and I'm going to treat my apartment like it's a house. There's always a positive, always. And this is where great God said that in all things, give him praise, because there's always a positive. And I wake up, and the only thing I need are reading glasses. At 59, I need nothing but reading glasses. That's it. I'm not on any medication. I don't see the doctor for anything. No canes, no walkers, no wheelchairs, nothing. I need nothing but reading glasses. Grateful am I. So my energy is what keeps me the positive. I wake up every day happy. I go to sleep every day happy. And if anything or anyone sees that, I have to take a step back, because that's against my religion. I refuse to be miserable. I refuse to be sad. I refuse, because there's too many positive things out here that God says are his and they're beautiful. So why should I need to be anything but that? I can't do that. That's against my religion. Yeah, and it's just naturally me. I hate nothing. I don't know what hate feels like. As much as I've been crapped on, I don't want to know. I don't. I had a conversation with God many years ago. If I ever hate anyone, it's time for me to leave, because now I believe that Satan has dwelt so and far and inside of me, I don't know anything else but that. My son's murderer, I pray for him. I do. I don't wish any ill will to him. I just want him to spend justice behind bars. That's it. But what keeps me going is my energy. You know, God. I don't have really a downtime. I really don't. My brain is, even when I'm on vacation, I'm always working. I'm always trying to come up with something. I'm always trying to do something. What can I do to help community? What can I do to improve me? What can I do to help the next person? I got to work on me first.
Any vacation spots when you're on vacation? Yeah.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Oh, do you have any favorite vacation spots when you're on vacation?
Well, I used to go to Myrtle Beach. I
oh,
love that.
Nice.
I just love
nice.
Water. I just love to go.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't make a difference. It can be Philadelphia Zoo. I just love to go places. I just love to venture off and go. Just go. No, just go. I have no particular place in mind, just to go. Enjoy whatever the season, the weather is, just go and embrace
life.
Amen.
Superb. Thank you.
Yeah. With that being said, I want to go to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, do you have a question or a statement for our dear sister, Sonia Jones? Go right ahead.
Yes, Sonia, once again, thank you for coming on the show, sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, your love, your, from your inward parts, your outlook on life. And as part of the radio show, I want to say our sincere sympathies, condolences, and we thank God for a woman such as yourself to have the strength, the courage, and the ability to do what you do. But I want to apologize for this question because I might have missed your son's name. Could you tell us and share with us what was his name?
Kevin Andrew Canty Jr. C-A-N-T-Y is his last name.
Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. You're
welcome. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show with our special guest right now, Sonia Jones. We had Chief Apostle Curry on earlier. Sister Sonia has brought knowledge, wisdom, power, and authority to her discussion today. And I'm honored beyond words to have her on because she is a civil rights activist. She fights for justice and equality. And we are in the same arena. And I feel so wonderfully good about having her on and very passionate about the civil rights work. We've been doing it for over 30 years, and the best is yet to come. We're not going to stop right here. We have to keep on going. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. I want to see if I can one more time get my daughter. Talana Jones, are you there? Talana, are you with us? I see you in the queue, but are you there? Okay, well, with that being said, we'll come back. We'll put her on hold. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. I want to shout out Brother Maurice Ballantyne. Welcome to the show, Brother Maurice, a.k.a. Bully the Bull. Right on, Bully the Bull. We got to interview you, Brother Charles Harmon. Welcome to the show, Brother Charles. All the people on Cherry Mac, good morning, Cherry Ann. How are you? God bless you. I pray all is well with you and your family. Everybody that's on Facebook Live, please just type in there where you're calling from. Are you from Vegas? Are you from Chicago? Are you from Detroit? Are you from Delaware? What's up, Kevin Taylor? My brother, Kevin Taylor. What's up, man? Man, what's going on, brother? Brother Kevin Taylor, I just want to shout this out to you, man. I know you already put your mom, you know, and I know, but I send my deepest condolences at the loss of your mom, man, and for all the work that you do as a civil rights activist, Brother Kevin Taylor. Man, all the work you've been doing, man, you've been feeding people, you've been giving people, man, just doing it. So, you know, I just love the fact that we're all in this all together. Felita Will says she's from Los Angeles. Oh, okay. This is the other Kevin Taylor. What's up, Kevin? Okay, I got two Kevin Taylors. Okay, yes. Oh, my God, man. I'm sending my love and my prayers with you at the loss of your daughter. Okay, my God. I send my, you know, Vera put L.A. Everybody, I'm asking you to type in where you're from. What state are you from? So we can shout your state out. And I know that, Sister Sonia, you're from Delaware, right?
Yes, I'm in Delaware.
Wow, how's the weather out there in Delaware?
It is gorgeous. It's supposed to be in the 80s. Nice and sunny, just how I like it. Woo! Oh,
amen. Nice. God, praise God. Okay, we got a caller in the 503-747. Caller in the 503-747, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, good morning, Linda Goldie. How are you this morning all the way out there in Oregon, the state of Oregon? How are you?
Well, I'm busy, always busy doing something.
Well, busy is good. Everybody say good morning to Linda Goldie all the way from Oregon. Just say good morning, y'all.
Hello.
Good morning,
hello.
Linda.
Good morning.
Looking forward to my hug.
Good morning.
Good morning, Linda.
Amen. Praise God. It's every Monday we're here, every single Monday, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. I want to send a shout-out to everybody who's on the show right now, wherever you're calling from. I appreciate you.
even Linda Goldie, Polita Wills, First Lady Polita Wills said hello. Wanda Jones said hello. Cousin V said hello. Everybody's saying hi to you, okay? And I know that you have a special poem for us, and we're going to need some poetry in motion today because we haven't even touched our two topics because we're on a very important topic, which is gun control, the loss of our kids, whether it be by them creating a murder or doing a murder or them being murdered by their own people. That is disgusting. Hey, Chandra Daniels. Chandra Daniels, tell everybody where you're from. Are you from Los Angeles? Are you from Long Beach? Are you from where are you from? Everybody on Facebook Live, type in where you're from. Thank you. So far, everybody's been participating. And we are just, you know, earlier Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry said something very, very important. He said that assault weapons only do one thing. They assault people. That's all they do. And we don't need assault weapons on our street. So here's my take on that, okay? Here's my take on that. If you go to buy a weapon, I think they need to do more than just a background check. I think they need to do a few other things, and I'm not going to talk about it on the show because we're going to create a bill, and I've been talking to Professor Reams and our team on creating this bill, and I'll talk about it when it gets done. I don't like to say too much before it gets done because then things can stop it from getting done. Hey, Sister Rita Oliver, how are you? Okay, thank you so much for being open and commend you a great deal. A woman, she's speaking to Sister Sonia Jones. Okay. Sister Rita Oliver is shouting you out, Sister Sonia Jones, and saying that you're what a great speaker you are, and she commends you for sharing all the stuff that you've shared about what happened in your life. Because, like I said, no mother knows what it's like to lose a child, and you can't even walk in her shoes. So we can't imagine what it's like to get a phone call saying that you lost your child. God forbid anybody have to have that happen in their life. But I just, you know, our prayers and love and we stay with you because it's not easy. So, Sister Sonia Jones, we don't want you to leave the show, but we would like for you to give us your closing remarks on everything that you've covered with us today.
I have so many positive signatures. Please don't ask me. I remember just asking God, you know, while standing in church, I want to be like them. Like, I want to minister. But I felt like, I don't know what to say or how to say it. But I know how to engage with people. So I just, you know, I just go with it. I allow God to just use me. I love to speak it. I just, again, I'm going to reiterate, I just wish everyone would stay focused on self-improve. Self-love, self-pride, self-dignity, and self-worth all begins with self. Can't buy it in a book. No one can teach that to you. You have to learn that from yourself. And I really and truly believe when everyone learns to accept that and work on that, make that your top priority, everything else, it won't even bother you anymore. You know, it won't bother you. You have to learn self. Everything begins with self. We're looking at everybody else. Why is God letting us? No. God didn't tell y'all to do that. Actually, he didn't tempt us. He didn't tell y'all. Y'all did that on your own. You know, y'all did the same thing Satan did. Again, the very first war began in heaven. The very first. Everything else, the second war is within ourselves. We battle it every day, good and bad. Should I say that? Should I not say that? Should I do that? That's the war. When you defeat that war, everything else, it's a no-brainer. But we got to start with self. Not stop pointing the finger over there. What are you doing? What are you doing to help make it a positive, a motivating day? What are you doing in this society? From the time you're born to the time you die, there's a dash. That dash represents you. What are you doing in that dash? Because when God looks at that dash, we can't see that. God's going to see that dash. What is he going to regurgitate back to you about that dash? That's all I want to know.
Wow. Thank you so much. Let's give a big hand again for Sister Sonia Jones.
Can I just say one thing, please? I always say if no one is depositing anything in you positive, they're stealing from you. And what does that mean? That means that from the time you've heard it until whenever God removes it, your every being is thinking on the negative. Just think about it. Somebody said, oh, you suck. Now you went from a happy mode. What the heck should you say? Oh, that's stealing. You just deposited something negative into my positive mode. Now you stole something from me. So if you're not depositing anything positive in anybody's life, you're stealing. You are a thief. Stop being a thief and start being positive in people's lives. That's it.
Wow. Thank you so much. I want to send a big shout out to Brother Zeno Dyer, my buddy Zeno. I want to send a shout out to Rita Oliver. Thank you for coming on, Charles Chandra Daniels. She says she's from Sun City between Sacramento, California. And that's a big shout out. And Clarence M. Allen from Long Beach, California. Cousin Via's in Papano Beach in Florida. And she'll be bringing a sports report in a little while. And I'm so happy to have everybody on. We're going to switch reels real quick because it's 10:16. And we just for a minute, I want y'all to know who are the candidates running for president in 2024. This is important. Sister Jones, don't go anywhere. Please stay on the show if you have time. We want you to stay with us. I want to go to this right now. Let's see who is. Okay, so who's the who? Who's running for president right now of the United States of America? And this is a very important topic because we need to know who's going to – I mean, if Joe Biden doesn't win, I don't know. But, of course, you know Joe Biden is running. He's the Democratic president running for president again. And then the 2024 Republican presidential candidates are number one, Donald Trump, and I call him T-Rump. Not Donald Trump, T-Rump. He wants to run, okay? And then we have, we have Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley is a Republican. She's running for president. I hope she doesn't win either. Okay, we have this guy, Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, this is the guy who did the interview and got Don Lemon fired from his job. I definitely don't want him to be the president. Matter of fact, he's not even from America. I don't even know how he's running for president. Anyway, Vivek Ramaswamy, okay, he's running for Republican president. Also, Larry Elder is running for president of the United States. Larry Elder, he's the one that had the radio show. I've interviewed him on my show, and he's interviewed me on his show, and I had to, you know, I had to tear him one on his own show. But Larry Elder is African American, but he doesn't act like he's African American. He's another Clarence Thomas, okay? Let's just say that. Asa Hutchinson is running for Republican president. And Tim Scott, who's a black man, he's running for president. Write these people down because these are the people that are going to be in the big, great debate. Tim Scott, he's a Republican, African-American Republican. Don't forget who else is going to be running. Marianne Williamson, she's a Democratic presidential candidate. She's a Democrat. Her name is Marianne Williamson. Write her name down, okay? These people you need to know. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. You know the Kennedys had a long run for president. And both of the brothers were murdered, and then mysteriously one of the Kennedy sons died in a terrible airplane crash, and he was a very popular Kennedy. And for some reason his plane, he was, you know, the Kennedys have had a long string of things going on with their family. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running on a Democratic ticket for president of the United States. Also, we have Ron DeSantis. We do not want Ron DeSantis doing anything. He's the same guy who does not want black history in any classroom in the state of Florida. So you know you don't want him as your president because he doesn't want the truth about black history. I know Kennedy is terrible. He's not a Democrat? Well, he's running on a Democratic ticket. Wait, hold on. Let me go back. I'm glad Zeno, thank you for bringing that to my attention. slain. Robert Kennedy was once of those. Okay. Let's see. Anti-vaccine. Okay. Wait a minute. Hold on. Yes, you're right. He's running. Oh, my gosh. He's running on a Republican ticket. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I can't believe that. They've always been Democrats, the whole family. I don't know what happened. Maybe they we'll see. Okay, we'll see. Maybe he might switch. We don't want Ron DeSantis. Write that down. We don't want him in there. Exactly. He's on the ticket, but you're right. I agree with you. Zeno said he's on the ticket, but he's one of them. I know because he's posing as a Democrat, so I don't understand how he's doing that. But anyway, and Ron DeSantis, we don't want him in there at all, period. Also, Mike Pence is running. Mike Pence is running on the Republican ticket. And, of course, you know Donald Trump put a mob out after Mike Pence when they ran the coup on the state capitol. So you know what kind of party that is. Chris Sununu. I don't know who Chris Sununu is, but he's running on the Republican ticket. I'm just saying, write these names down. You got to know. Glenn Youngkin. Glenn Youngkin. Doesn't that sound like something way back in the back? Who knows where, but he's running for Republican ticket. Doug Burgum is running on that same ticket. Doug Burgum is running on that ticket. So write that down. He's running on the Republican ticket. Last but not least, Larry Hogan. Larry Hogan. Never heard of the guy. Oh, Mike Pompeo. Mike Pompeo is running. Okay, let's write that down. We forgot. Okay, so that is most of your people that are, that's the end of that, are all the ones who are running for president, okay? And they look them all up because I just want to go really quick just so we can get a quick review politically from Professor Reeves. So, Professor Reeves, please take the floor. I want you to focus on this guy, Vivek Ramaswamy. He's the one who got, like I said, Don Lemon fired from his job over the debate, which took place on an interview on CNN. But I'm sure I just want you to focus on all these guys. Go ahead, take the floor. We definitely don't want T-Rump back in the office. We don't want him for sure. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor
Joe.
So there is also a list of others who are still maybes and possibilities. So my last thing was that there are about 20-odd folks who have potentials of running, but so far the ones that you've mentioned, we're up to about 6 or 8, maybe 10 folks so overall. But think about it as it was back in 2015-16. This is another group where number 45 has already focused on both Ron DeSantis and also the other to try and destroy them during debates and all these other things. So when they fully pull it together, there's going to be an interesting bloodbath. Now, dealing with Vivek Ramaswamy, he's the investor and former pharmaceutical CEO who launched his campaign based on a critique of wokeness, so he's following in the footsteps of Ron DeSantis. This is his pet area, and yes, he was the one who Don Lemon had reviewed and, of course, resulted in leaving in one sense. But his issues, he's focused on, again, the issues of the economy as it relates to wealthy, on crime, on foreign policy and immigration. So he's, like Nikki Haley and some of the others, still using the talking points that number 45 started. And, of course, if he's trying to go in that direction, he won't be as successful because he's only doing the same thing that Ron DeSantis is doing. The losing path is the fact that he's self-funding candidate, and that when you have a self-funded candidate and you don't have the support of the party itself, then they can show up on the stage, but they have to work harder to get the support of the base. Now, let's be quite honest. What Ron DeSantis is doing is trying to take away part of number 45's base by being a lighter version of him. But make no mistake, he still has the same authoritarian focus on getting into the White House and making it his own, weaponizing DOJ, everything that Trump did. So that's where the fight is going to be. And so he in himself has shot his foot off by having a war with Disney. You never do that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, especially with the LGBTQ community, also with Black History, and also the lawsuits that are going up against him. So both of these guys have lawsuits. But this other gentleman, he is considered a long shot as of today. We don't really know what these candidates stand for, except that they filled in their paperwork and that they are have announced that they're going to be candidates. It will be either through their campaigns coming up either on social media or the early debate stage or showing up on Fox News or whatever venue is open to them that we find out what their true policies are. Right now, things are a little bit tense because of the debt ceiling, and whatever Kevin McCarthy does will determine how people look at the Republican Party. I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Well, now, but before you yield back to me, thank you so much, Professor Ames. Is Robert F. Kennedy, I thought he was a Democrat. He's always been the Kennedys have always been Democrats. Is he hiding behind a Republican ticket, or what is his position right now?
He is kind of hiding. He is hiding behind a Republican ticket because he used to be a progressive, you know, wing of the Democratic Party, and was very staunch in pushing what his father would have done overall. Since then, many of the folks who I work with says that he has changed completely and could be no different than a third party or a third wheel that has been asked to take away the votes from Joe Biden in some way, shape, or form by bringing up all of his frailties or so. So you could look at him as sort of a semi-independent, but mostly leaning towards the Republican side, or as a Republican, he's going to try to be more of a milder, moderate version, so that might be to pull votes. But we have to be – we're going to have to observe what direction his campaign is going to go. Because if he doesn't get a lot of traction or he doesn't have a lot of money, then it's going to die before he even has a chance to debate. Now, knowing how Uncle Joe is, if there are Democratic folks there, he usually says bring it on so that we can have this discussion, provided that it's done early enough so that people's votes will not be dissuaded. The biggest thing that's going to be focused on, once again, is the debt ceiling. If he's able to maneuver around the debt ceiling and make sure that things are okay, or he decides to use the 14th Amendment to say, you know, this debt ceiling thing is ridiculous, let's take it to the court so we can eliminate it, then that will be very crucial to his campaign. But as it stands, the first two is too early because the fact that we have too many of our African-American women who have been supportive of Uncle Joe. And they're not backing down. They're saying, bring it on. Let's do this stuff, which is why when I get to my commentary of what we need to do and with our wonderful guests reminding us to put some fire in us, this is what we have to do and not be dissuaded by what's been going on in the media. There's a lot of stuff in the media that just you pay attention to. You don't have to look at it every week, but once a week, just tune in and see what their stances are because the stances haven't changed. So what we should be doing is mobilizing because many of the swing states are making it harder for people to vote. So if we can start mobilizing early, then whatever they do like they were doing in Georgia, and be prepared to stand in long lines because you won't have to do that in California. But if that is the case, we now have a year and a half to plan for this. You bring your own water, you bring your own lunch, you bring your own seat, you do whatever it is. But democracy is still on the fringes of authoritarianism. So we have to be vigilant to make sure to vote that out. Now, was Joe Biden the best candidate? He didn't start out that way, but I'm glad he's in the office because the fact that at least we're getting some things done. And that's my thoughts on that with Robert Kennedy, because you don't want a third-party candidate dissuading the vote. So we need to just make sure that we clear the path as has been done before. No different than what happened with Larry Ehlers. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Wow, thank you so much. Let's give Professor Raines a thank you very much, Professor Raines. Give you a hand. Thank you very much. Now, with that being said, okay, we're going to switch reels. We know now who's running for president. I hope you wrote all those names down. I hope you pay attention. But most of all, I want you to vote. Vote, vote, vote. Yes, thank you so much. Chandra Daniel said, absolutely phenomenal. Yes, we need the intelligence, we need the wisdom, but most of all, we need to know who is doing what in America. Don't wait till it's all, don't wait till the month of the election and go, okay, who's running for president? No, get involved. Stay engaged, okay? Let me give you our word of the week and our scripture of the week. I want you to get our word of the week is magnanimous. Magnanimous. Now, if you don't know what that means, I just want to tell you, magnanimous is a beautiful word, and it's applicable to certain people. Magnanimous, I want you to use it all week long. It means generous. It means forgiving. It means charitable, benevolent, big-hearted. That's what Professor Rain said that Sister Sonia Jones was, magnanimous, okay? That is our word of the week. Our scripture of the week, and listen carefully, is Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Our scripture, write it down. Our scripture of the week is Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and it reads, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. I'll read that one more time. Our scripture of the week is Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and it reads, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So God's always knocking, and the door is open. All you got to do is walk through. And Sister Chandra Daniel said, actually, because we really need to know who we are voting for, because a lot of people just vote and don't know who is doing what. I agree with you 100%, Sister Chandra Daniels on Facebook Live. You hit the nail on the head. That's the reason why on this Civil Rights Talk Show we are sharing who the candidates are and who you should vote for and who you shouldn't. It's going to be completely up to you. But let me tell you, do not put this Vivek guy in office, okay, who was an Indian and don't know nothing about black history, okay? And we definitely don't want T-Rump in there, and we don't want Tim in there either. He's, oh, gosh. Be careful of who you vote for. Don't vote because of what you heard. Vote because you know that you know that you know who you're voting for, okay? All right, we're going to end that topic, and we're going to go on another topic. One of the greatest people to step on a football field was Mr. Jim Brown. We're going to take a few minutes to talk about Jim Brown. And normally we go off into our regular segment, and we will do that. We're going to have poetry in motion. We're going to have Regulate the Manual. We're going to have the sports report. We're going to have the commentary. We're going to have words of wisdom. We're going to have all that. But and we would have health and wellness, but Vera, my sister Vera Jones, will not be on today to do health and wellness. So I'm going to give you my health and wellness. And you know, I'm going to step in her shoes, but I can't do it like she does, but I'll try. Okay. But Jim Brown. Jim Brown was an amazing football player. He was born February 17, 1936, in St. Simons Island, Georgia. He passed away on May the 18th of 2023 at the age of 87 years old in Los Angeles, California. Jim Brown was 6'2", 232 pounds, and he was one of the best running backs. He went to high school in New York. He went to college at Syracuse from 1954 to 1956. He's drafted in the NFL in 1957. He's a round one pick. His career history, Cleveland Browns, 1957 to 1965. His career highlights is NFL champion, 1964. Three times NFL most valuable player, 1957, 58, and 65. Eight-time first-time All-Pro team, 1957, 61, 63, 65, second team All-Pro, 1962, nine times Pro Bowl, 1957 through 1965, eight times NFL rushing yards leader, 1957, 1961, 1963, NFL rushing touchdown leader. I could go on and on with his accolades. This man was amazing, and his number was 32. That was his number on the Cleveland Browns. If you follow football, you already know what Jim Brown's number was. He was an amazing man. Jim Brown credits himself reliance to having grown up in St. Simons Island, a community of the coast of Georgia, where he was raised by his grandmother and where racism did not affect him directly. At the age of 8, he moved to Massachusetts, New York, where his mother worked as domestic. It goes on and on about the story of his life. However, he started AmeriCan was for young men who were getting out of prison or young men in the community that were going towards getting in trouble. He set up programs to keep them out of trouble. I had the privilege to work with Mr. Jim Brown on several occasions with the AmeriCan project, and this is an amazing running back, amazing civil rights activist that a lot of people didn't know he was in the civil rights arena. But he did a lot of things behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, and he donated money to make sure that young men could stay out of trouble. And I remember the day I shook his hand, I was like, wow, Jim Brown. I mean, he would always say, stay out of trouble, stay focused. He said, you're going places. You know, he always had a lot of positive affirmations that he would share with you. And he was cut and dry, too. He didn't play around. He told you how he felt, and he let you know that this is what's going to help you stay positive and uplifted, and these are the things that will keep you in trouble. So if you want to stay out of trouble, listen to me, and I'll tell you. So he was a great mentor, a great leader, a great civil rights activist, and a great man. And my heart goes out to his wife, and he was a true, yes, that's right, Brother Zeno, he was a true role model. That's exactly what he was. And you know how you see some of these football players and baseball players out there, like the guy who got on the Rams, I'm not going to say his name, he got this multi-million dollar contract, and then he went out and got drunk and tried to drive home and crashed and killed the girl and her dog, and he lost his contract and he went to jail. So these young people need to mimic themselves behind a football player, civil rights activist, mentor, leader, Jim Brown, one of the greatest football players that ever lived. So now I'm going to go around to our panel real quick, and let's see. I want to start with Okay, there we go. Sonia Jones. Sonia, are you still there with us? Sonia, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, Sonia Jones, what do you want to say about civil rights activist, role model leader Jim Brown? Go right ahead in your own words.
I can't say too much about him. I've never followed him. But I'm a stickler for anybody that's doing anything positive for the community, for their people. I root for anybody. So, but I honestly can't say anything about it.
Oh, amen! Praise God. That you just said enough. That was beautiful right there. Without further ado, I want to go to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, what do you want to say about our brother Jim Brown, leader, civil rights activist, football player / role model?
Yes, Pastor Eddie and all our listeners, you know, I what came to my mind, you know, we had another great who just passed, Harry Belafonte, but Jim Brown, man, there's no comparison to, you know, he was the icon in football, the discrimination, the racism. And you know he was targeted as a running back, but he still outran the running backs in those days, man. You know, it's hard for me to imagine the discrimination, the violence, the harsh words that was used at him, just like Jackie Robinson, you know. He opened doors for many of our athletes. And, you know, he went into the movies and retired from football. So, you know, we're looking at pioneers, man. We're looking at present day gods, you know, who has been on this planet with us, man. If you look at the days back in Greece and the Romans, these were today's God compared to some people such as Samson, man. And so, you know, we have some greats who have came in our days that we were able to share. And, you know, he criticized Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson for not being models in our community when he started this AmeriCan program that you have mentioned. to change the mindsets of many of our young men and even women from the gang violence, to let them know that there's another life besides running around and creating violence and even killing your own people. You know, this connection with the beginning of the show of the young police officer we spoke of early in the show. So, you know, Pastor Eddie, I thank God for a man such as Jim Brown. He is a role model that many of us can acclimate ourselves to and just follow his personality, his characterisms. And man, God bless the Total Brown family, man. May they all be strengthened, energized, and may they allow his love, his legacy, his influence to just enter them and find that joy to continue to move forward. Great topic. Thank you for recognizing.
Thank you so much, Brother Clarence. Thank you, Brother Clarence. Thank you, Brother Clarence. We got a call in the 323-646 area code. Are you there? Call in the 323-646 area code. Are you there? Call in the 323-646 area code. Did you want to say something? Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. Okay. Okay, with that being said, we're going to go really quick. Professor Reams, just like a 30-second little shout-out. Hey, what's up, Brother James Hudson on Facebook Live? Please, Professor Reams, take the floor. What do you want to say about Jim Brown?
I would say that he was our first black superhero, action hero in the movie. He was also very, not only with the NFL, but also lettered in lacrosse, basketball, and also track. And so whenever I'm having fond memories looking back at all the TV shows or so, it was always good to see him there because he was always trailblazing and also pushing the envelope, but doing it in such a professional but dignified manner. And with that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Oh, man, thank you so much. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Good morning, Brother James Hudson on Facebook Live. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Our super special guest today, Sister Sonya Jones, and also our guest today was Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. He had to go a little bit early. Our co-producer of the show, Clarence M. Allen, our co-producer of the show, Professor Reams, our co-producer of the show, Vera Jones, co-producer of the show, Cousin V with the Sports Report, Talana Jones with Words of Wisdom. And speaking of Words of Wisdom, let's see if we can get Talana Jones. Talana Jones, are you there? Are you there, Talana Jones?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, Talana. What would you like to say about Jim Brown, the football player? I know you didn't get to meet him, but I did. Dad did. But what would you like to say about Jim Brown, the football player, civil rights actor?
Well, I didn't get to see his football days, but I do recall Jim Brown being in during activism. He did some black movies that were about activism, about fighting the power, about remembering to keep our culture together. And that the powers that be, some of them, the decisions that were made in that day and time were wrong, and he wanted to right those wrongs. So I do salute Jim Brown. I just like Clarence said, I pray that all his family have all of the strength and draw from all of the positivity and the love that he brought and he shared with the world, and keep it with them. And I do also want to extend my condolences and say God bless Jim Brown and his family.
Amen. Thank you so much, Alana. Now we're going to close out on our interview about Jim Brown. We're going to go into our regular segment, and it's 10:44 a.m. Normally we do this at 10:30 a.m. We have a lot to squeeze in. So we're going to start off with, well, first of all, I want to say this. We love Jim Brown. Jim Brown played in a lot of movies like Three the Hard Way, D. Christie Brown. Jim Brown played in a lot of movies. He was a good actor. He was a good football player. He was a good role model. He was a good civil rights activist. And he was a good man. He was a good man. So let's remember, never to forget, the life, the legacy, of a great man named Jim Brown, one of the greatest football players that ever stepped on a football field in the history. And in the time that he stepped on the football field, civil rights, it was a lot of stuff going on about civil rights. So he did a lot to you know, he had to maintain himself and just go out there on the field and show them better than he could tell them that he was the best, no matter what color he was the best, and he proved it many times. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. We're going to get some closing remarks from our guest. Hey, Rashinda Castile, good to see you on this morning. Good morning to you, and God bless you. Yes, good morning to you. Okay, without further ado, let's go to Linda Goldie, then we're going to go to Talana Jones. Linda Goldie, take the floor. Don't forget we have a sports report, too. Linda Goldie, give us poetry in motion. Go right ahead, Linda.
Okay. God knows the woes and wounds of men. His Son can testify of them. And so for all, he died to take the wounds of sin for heaven's sake. God knows he chose a painful trail with friends he knew would often fail. And yet instead of leaving them, he chose to teach those stubborn men. How many ways he taught them love, not of the earth but from above. The plan of man he had to shed to rise above this earth instead. God knows.
Amen, amen. Let's give a big hand for Linda Goldie. Thank you, Linda Goldie. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I got my hug. Yes.
Amen. And we're going to go straight to Talana Jones with words of wisdom. Talana Jones, take the floor. Give us words of wisdom.
Thank you, Dad. Good morning, everybody. Again, welcome to Words of Wisdom. Every Monday gets deeper and deeper into finding out more about the truth. And I just want everyone to remember what has been done to our culture will make you bitter. It will make you frustrated. It will make you angry. And some things I would even say out of our control. And learning through this process is how to ride the belly of the struggle, to remember to stay above float, and that we all need to galvanize to come together. I really agree with what I heard Professor Rain say earlier. If we prepare now, we don't have to get ready later. And so I just want to read this to you guys, and I pray you enjoy it. The lesson of the day is to remember not to be bitter, to add a fire to your words, and edify with grace and mercy. Thank you, God, for every seed of knowledge planted inside me and others, for the wisdom and of understanding and the power to exercise this daily, always in your presence and never away from your sight. Almighty God, I praise you for just being you and for the gift of your love made new every single day, a relationship made with whole honor, pride, and unconditional love. I will serve you, Lord. Amen. And I also say everything must change. How we see things today, how we are being treated as a whole, as a culture. It's time for new things. God bless everyone, and thank you for listening to Words of Wisdom.
All right. Thank you very much, Solana, for Words of Wisdom. Thank you so very, very much. That's beautiful. That was beautiful. Thank you. Beautiful words of wisdom. Normally, Vera would be here to do health and wellness, a.k.a. Dr. Dana V, but we're getting ready to have a sports report on right now. But before we go to the sports report, here's my health and wellness for today. You need to make sure you drink water, but not too much water. You also need to make sure that your sodium level stays up, because if your sodium level goes down up under 140, if your sodium level goes below 140, you're in danger of cramping, going into seizures, throwing up, and all kinds of stuff. So make sure you check your sodium level, because your sodium level has to be good, just like your level of water intake in your body. Sometimes you can have too much water. So check your sodium level. That's our health and wellness for today. Okay, God bless you. I can't do it like Vera, but it's been done. Okay, without further ado. Without further ado, Cousin V, all the way from Pompano, Florida, please take the floor. Give us a sports report. The time is 10:49 a.m. Go ahead, Cousin V. Take the floor. Sports report.
Good morning. I just want to say, in addition to those, the sodium, because they're electrolytes, and it also has to do with sports, you need to keep up your sodium, potassium, magnesium, and calcium levels because they all work together. And then we want to say just have a silent moment, of course, for Jim Brown, who was one of the greatest in American NFL football. And then I'm going to go into the UFC. Tony Ferguson, he was arrested for a DUI after his truck turned over and had a crash in Hollywood, California. And that was on last week. He had two parked cars, and he was on a $30,000 bond. He was released. One of the cars he hit was Kush Gotti's Mercedes. But that's not the first time he had been in trouble. It was in 2019. He received a restraining order from his wife, but it was dropped. And his UFC record is 25-8. So we just want to pray for these young people. He's 39 years old. And then we want to say hats off to Haney beat Lamontenko in boxing on this past Saturday. And then we get to our NBA. There's a documentary out called Rich and Seamless. It's about Dennis Rodman, his stolen millions, and you can watch that documentary and you will know what happened to him. And then last night, Charles Barkley was just saying, you know, that it's hard for our young players, not because of things like social media, TMZ, cell phones, because as you know, Ja Morant, I mean, he just played in the finals a few weeks ago. He did an excellent job, but he had got in trouble before that. Then he went back and did the same thing, but he's only in his 20s. So we do want to pray for our young men.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shaq, he also, you can see his interview on the NBA app or NBA.com, but he interviewed Kareem, and he also looked up to greats like Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell. But you're looking at the NBA championship and you're wondering what that number six is on the shoulders of the NBA players, and they're honoring the great legend Bill Russell, so he wore number six.
Okay.
And right now in tennis, because Eddie and I like tennis and some of you others, the French Open is going on from now May 22nd until June the 11th. And it is hot and cold here in Miami because we have the Miami Heat. They are 3-0 over the Boston Celtics. And then we also have the Florida Panthers. They will be playing tonight, and they're hoping to get their 3-0 also in NHL hockey. And both of those games will play right here in Southern Florida. And then we have the NBA draft. It will be held June the 22nd, and the first pick will be the top five is San Antonio, Portland, Charlotte, Houston, and Detroit. And then we also want to say hats off to Dale Earnhardt in NASCAR. Dale Earnhardt won last week in the Daytona after his dad, Earnhardt, had received his heavenly wings. So we just want to say hats off to that family also. And then in the NFL, they had the mystery relevant in the NFL draft, and you Los Angeles Rams, you all got number 301, mystery relevant. This is my sports report, and have a blessed week.
Thank you so much for the sports report. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the support. All right, Cousin V, I want to shout out Sister Ramona for joining us on the show on Facebook Live. I also want to shout out Edie Way and Cassandra Romero. Thank you guys so much, and everybody on Facebook Live. And right now, without further ado, it is time for Mental Health and You. But before we do Mental Health and You, everybody say good morning to Aretha Adams-Jones, affectionately known as Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones. Everybody say good morning.
Dr. Aretha.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Monday, Dr. Aretha.
Happy Monday.
Well, we can take the floor and give us mental health and you.
Amen. I praise God for more blessings flow. And today is May the 22nd, 2023. Excuse me. And guess what? Today is National Solitaire Day. Did you know that they had a National Solitaire Day? So National Solitaire Day recognizes a card game that has been around for more than 200 years. It's also known as Klondike. And the classic version of the game uses a standard deck of 52 playing cards. The object of the game is to clear the board by creating a stack of cards from low to high in each suit. If the player completes each suit, the player wins the game of solitaire. Studies have shown that solitaire is indeed good for your mind, and it can improve your mental health, keep your mind sharp, and it enhances your memory. Remember, mental health matters. It's time to remove the stigma. God bless you.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And it is 10:56 a.m. We're going to go over just a little bit because we definitely want to get some closing remarks from Sister Sonia Jones. But before we do, it's time for Regulate the Manual, and then we have the commentary. Don't go anywhere. We're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Without further ado, Clarence and Allen, take the floor. Give us Regulate the Manual.
Yes, Pastor Eddie, and to all our listeners and co-panelists, you know, we talked about the slain police officer in Chicago. Condolences to her family and those four young men who I would believe to be part of maybe a gang, you know. They claim to be gang bangers and maybe even, but we know that they are not because they're not holding up the duties and the responsibilities to being a gang. Many of our gangs have went sideways, and many of our gangsters are not living up to live the life of a gangster. So I will call them pranksters. So let's talk about this gangster. What is a gangster? The gangster is a member of a gang of criminals. This is the definition that Webster will give you. A gangster is also a racketeer. A racketeer is stated as someone who obtains money by illegal enterprise, usually involving intimidation to carry on in a racket, to practice extortion, and there's more. Within this manual, we will use the word racket as a fraudulent scheme or enterprise, and their activities were illegitimate activities are made workable through bribery or intimidation, an easy and lucrative means of a livelihood. Racket within this manual could also be termed as a slang for an occupation or business. Let us now upgrade the gangster and put some new meanings on the name. Times have changed and things have changed throughout the years. A gangster can also be a person who has the ability to handle and manage people, money, and things of all sorts. A gangster can also be the person who has these abilities and characteristics without of all the wrongdoing and illegal racketeering. Can there be any such thing as an honest gangster? I believe that there are many gangsters who stand for doing the right thing, and they operate with all honesty. I believe that there are some good gangsters who really exist. Certainly there are even plenty of gangsters out there, and they do live and fight for the good of mankind as best as they can. And I'm going to stop there because of time. But if you want to read more about this gangster, I have read this several times during the years of the show. But you can go to regulatethemanual.com, get this book, take a stroll through the scrolls of the gangster, take a stroll through the scrolls of Regulate the Manual, because this book is written and you are in here.
Thank you so much, Brother Clarence. Appreciate that, Brother Clarence.
The regulator.
Now, it's time for one of the most important parts of the show. But before we go into the commentary, Sonia Jones, please don't leave. We want you to give your closing remarks after the commentary, but you don't want to miss the commentary. Without further ado, Professor Eames, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. Once again, the Monday, this has been a brilliant show as usual. So everyone, the commentary, as I remind you, even though he wonderfully says it's the most important thing, the reason why it's important is because I'm taking the bits and pieces of all the brilliance that has been shared with us and just summarizing it for us, remember what we have done. Because sometimes we get caught in the weeds and we don't look back to see all the good things that has happened. So in this, so thank you so much, Pastor Jones, for providing this wonderful forum where we have our 15 minutes of fame. And then I'm going to go through the thank yous very briefly and then get into the information overall. So again, Cousin B, thank you so much for the sports report. Clarence Allen, the regulator, thank you so much for your prophetic information on the prankster and gangster and how that works. Gary Jones, a wonderful shout-out, and hope to see you next week. To Lana, you knocked it out of the ballpark, remember, and in your words of wisdom. To Melanie Aubrey, a shout-out. Dr. Rita, thank you for reminding us for National Solitaire Game Day. And then also Linda Goldie, as I always say, I got my hug. And, of course, you've reminded us that God knows. And to our wonderful guest, Sister Sonia Jones, for sharing her wisdom and insight, and to Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. Now, we have just talked about some monumental topics from the gun violence and the murder of a cop doing her job to the experience shared by Sister Sonja and her son, all the way to the ills that are going on with the presidency and what to do and what not to do, along with honoring Jim Brown. And within doing that, let's put it all together. Now, one thing about it is that the Ecclesiastes 1, chapter 9, always says that there's nothing new under the sun that God hasn't seen. So think about it that we're here, and it should be, praise the Lord, we're here because we have been chosen to be here to do what we need to do at this point in time. But think about it, good Lord has used many people for thousands and thousands of years. And as Clarence Allen mentions, that our nature has been that there have been wars and insurrection, there's been hunger, there's been things for ever since civilization has been around. So this is where the nothing new under the sun happens. It just happens that we're here in the present in this period based on what Sister Sonia has mentioned, our dash with the Lord or our journey with the Lord. So in this process, he understands everything because we come back to Linda Goldie's point of God knows and God has got this. Because think about it, Sister Sonia shared us a situation of depression and despair. However, almost like Jonah and the whale, the same result was, yeah, you might be able to do this or try to run away or whatever you're going to do, but I have plans for you, and so it's not going to happen today, not on my watch. So get yourself over, have a little pity party, but I need you on that wall to do what I need you to do. And this is the reminder that we have of not getting pulled into the weeds, not getting into bitterness, not getting into depression, not allowing the society to tell us what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong, but to focus on the good Lord and our own self-love, as she's mentioned, because the fact that that is the biggest battle ever, to understand self, to like self, to love self enough that you'll do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, but also because it's what he expects us to do. To remind us of this, this show has done a wonderful job of identifying the problem, but also identifying the examples. Sister Sonia Jones is an example. She's gone through everything that only mothers can go through, and yet she stays positive. She stays focused, and she stays with the Lord and trusts him and loves him with all her heart, and look at how it has resulted in a lot of the great things that are going on. This is a reminder of God's got this, and to do something. Here we're in the middle of the situation of guns and things to that effect. Do what you can do. Donate. You can call. You can keep people positive. Don't feel powerless that you can't make a difference. Just like love yourself and take action and do you. Don't do something that someone else does. Find what you do best and continue to do it because he'll take it and run with it, and you'll find that from A, C, to see when he's with you, you would have done numerous things that would resolve the issue. That's why we're reminding people to vote, reminding people to give money, reminding people that on their local level, get active, get involved in the local communities, because this makes all the difference, and don't feel paralyzed by what the world is telling you. We also have the example of Jim Brown. He didn't just fall apart. He didn't go into despair. He kept saying he was the best. So that's an example, if you're looking at examples of true self-love, but also following what path he was supposed to do. Start out with football, but then it ended up in movies and activism and all these other things because of his connection. And also with the civil rights movement and trying to give back to others so that they can achieve what they do by doing best. So it's the idea of you do you, and this is what we all need to do. You do you, and God will do the rest. Okay, so you meet him 50% of where you need to be. Then that's when the journey begins, and that's when the blessings come down because of service. And the final thing about it with her spirit, Mr. Sonia Jones mentioned, do not hate, forgive. Because the thing about love, patience, is important, but forgiveness is the greatest gift that you can give someone, because it means that you've relieved yourself of this bitterness, it relieves you, it relieves them, and it allows you to flow in the direction that we need to go. Because with all of this going on, let us always remember and never forget, God knows, and he'll be there to catch us. And with that, I yield back to you.
Professor,
wow,
Reed.
The commentary. On the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, that was Professor Reed. Now, without further ado, let's go to our dear sister. Let's go to Sonia Jones. Sonia Jones, please take the floor. Give us your closing remarks and what you want everybody to know before we go.
I just want to, I have several signatures to my emails, and this is one of my favorite. The best exercise for the heart is to bend down and pick another up. And I always tell people, you know, when I see them in passing with their head down, and I get it. Sometimes we're going through a low that we don't want to share, because two things I always say. People generally want to know because they're generally newsy or they're generally concerned. I put it in that order. But I always tell people to hold your head up high. The only time you need to look down is to tie your shoelaces or to pick something up. Don't you never, ever let anybody make you hold your head low. For what? We're all sinners. We're all striving. Not all. Let me take that back. Most of us are trying to be better. We're striving to be better than what we were yesterday, to reach, to have our names written in the book of life. So the best exercise for your heart is to bend down and pick another up. If you got to pick them up and always keep notation as to what you did for them, leave them.
Wow.
That's it.
Okay, go right ahead. Did you want to say anything else, Sonia?
No. Thank you.
Okay.
I so appreciate
it. Let's give Sonia Jones a big hand and thank her very much. We want to thank you. Give her another big
thank you very much. Thank you, Sonia Jones.
You know, I say on the show every week I have my closing remarks, and here are my closing remarks. The only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. The only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. Number two, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And number three, which is actually number one, whatever you do, don't let nothing, nobody, feel your joy. It's so such a pleasure having you on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. I want to thank Cousin V. I want to thank everybody, all the people on Facebook Live, all the people on blogtalkradio.com, and all the people on the phone. Thank you so very much. But you know what the real question is, y'all? The real question is what's going on? And you know, there's a I'm just going to give you a few bars of this. And normally we cut off our show with What's Going On by Marvin Gaye, and we will. But I just want to say this. Lord, do it for me. Oh, Lord, do it for me. Oh, Lord, God, if you don't do it, it just won't be done. Oh, Lord, do it for me. Yeah. Lord, fix it for me. Lord, I just can't do it without you, Lord. Please fix it for me. Oh, Lord, if you don't do it, it just won't be done. Oh, Lord, fix it for me. I love y'all. God bless you. Keep your head up. And you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. But the real question is, y'all, what's going on?
Hey.
Take care. God bless.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
oh,
what's up?
This is a hey, big party, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket line and picket sign. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Right now.